The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello. On today's episode, we discuss why we haven't been here in a while, plus a MAGFest recap explaining of all our falls and successes of the Music and Gaming Festival in 2013. Strap in and sit tight, because you are boldly going nowhere.
No one else was going to say it, so I guess I had to. And welcome to the 16th episode of Boldly Going Nowhere.
Thank you for getting numbers right.
I gave up that position.
Did you?
I'm no longer the guy who says, well, hello. In fact...
You just said it now.
I said it, but I think that there's even a sign. The universe is trying to tell me something, because you know that pin you got me that had the little mustache that said, well, hello? It broke.
What?
That's the only pin that broke.
No, so I got you that pen.
That's an omen.
It is an omen. I'm not supposed to do
You're
it
not
anymore.
Not supposed to be the
Well, hello, everyone.
I think you did fun. Let's just all do it.
Either that, or you can still
be the one who says, well, goodbye.
That's not a thing.
All right, so you want to do a round robin of well, hello?
No, let's just do it all at the same time.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Well, hello. There we go.
That felt nice.
Hey, we should all do that from
now on. We should make it more inclusive.
We should, you know.
Just... One quick thing, though.
Make it more inclusive.
Have you ever wondered, it's not, you know, maybe that pin breaking is not a sign that, you know, you shouldn't say, well, hello anymore. Maybe it's more of a sign that you should never, ever grow a mustache. Because right above the well, hello is a very well-groomed handlebar mustache.
Right.
Which, if you know Justin, he can only grow, like...
Sideburns.
Like, a child beard and, like, maybe some sideburns.
He's got some David Tennant sideburns going on, but I don't know if he can
mustache. If I were to grow out the mustache, it would be... It would be just past my lips.
He's got some Ira Glass facial hair.
I could grow a decent
mustache
if I took the time to do it.
Yeah.
Because I've already had to deal with enough hipster accusations. If I were to grow a fucking mustache, I would never hear the end of it.
Hi, I'm Ira Glass.
Oh, dear listeners, you'll have to forgive us for feeling a bit unmoored, because this, after all, is the first true Boldly Going Nowhere episode that we've done since before editing all our plethora of interviews at MAGFest this year. And, you know, in that time, we've also been, of course, cultivating all the seeds that have dropped from the Boldly Going Nowhere tree, from Brian and mine's comic shop, as well as, oh gosh, Zach Patterson's Severed Dongle, and Kale's Quick Fix, and Amanda's System Soundwave.
It would be...
multiple show drops.
Yes, yeah. It would be all the shows under the Castwave Studios network.
Yeah. Right, unless you think that I just don't give a shit anymore. I am working on another project.
Yeah.
There is another show.
Yeah, and it's awesome. I'm not going to talk about it if we're not supposed to talk about it, but it's awesome.
You can talk about it.
It's not, in fact, we should be talking about it.
We should be talking about it.
Maybe that's part of what this episode.
All right, cool.
Should be about. Detail, yeah.
So let's go into it. Let's go into what this project is, Justin.
Justin, what is this new audio project?
Okay, so as you all know, I am no longer doing the music podcast. I passed that torch off to Amanda, and I decided to do something different that would combine more of my interests, namely writing and creating original things and, you know, trying to be funny the best I can.
He's trying.
But it is a...
Dead air. Oh, God.
That is awesome. We have good news. Breaking news.
What's up? Breaking news. For Boldly Going Nowhere.
At the news desk.
Breaking news.
All right.
Anybody remember the old intro theme for the news channel? Remember when the gang on Doug, and they had to do their own news show for the...
Hey, Douglas.
Yeah.
Okay, enough.
Sorry.
Wow, this podcast has ADHD.
It's Kermit the Frog. What's up?
Tell me the news.
The good news is George Watsky is playing a show in Baltimore on March 27th.
Y'all know Watsky.
Y'all know Watsky. And if you don't know Watsky, what the hell's wrong with you?
Who's George Watsky?
Look at iTunes and look at the number one album. That's all you got.
Yeah, yes. Just go look at the number one hip-hop album on iTunes.
B-R-O-K-E.
Well, it's not him anymore. At this point, he's like at like third or fourth.
Okay, but it was for like
it was number one. It was number one, yes. But all right, so long story short, he's coming to Baltimore to play a show. Justin and I are going to see him. And we thought, well, what better opportunity to see if we can get an interview? When are we going to get that opportunity again?
Right.
So we just got word back from his tour manager that they've agreed to an interview. So,
yay!
So apparently it's gonna happen.
Right on, brother. Right on.
So hey, awesome.
He said it'll be our pleasure. I'll make sure everything works out.
So hey, sweet.
Bring him like a Whopper Jr.
That's gotta
like,
be somewhere pretty high up on your bucket list of people to interview.
Actually, yeah. Like, that was like the one person I said I wanted to interview in 2013.
Your 2013 is going well.
I know. Everything's coming up Milhouse.
Do you want to talk about good things going on in 2013?
Okay.
Or should I get back to explaining myself?
You do that. You do that, and then let's... Because Jordan is right. The last time we did a Boldly Going Nowhere episode was our half-assed holiday special.
Which was 2012.
So if you're not counting the MAGFest episodes, we have not actually done a Boldly Going Nowhere episode in 2013. So this is the first episode of 2013.
Yes. I noticed things.
Yes. Well, no, you do. And that's
we greatly appreciate it.
Indeed, we do.
Indeed.
So why don't we do this? Why don't you finish describing your show, Justin, and then why don't we all go around the circle... And let's talk about how our 2013 is going thus far.
And share our feelings.
Okay, sure. So, anyways, the show, I'll just cut to the chase. The show is called Inspired Lunacy, which was the name of a blog that I used to write on and might start it up again. Basically, Inspired Lunacy was really mostly an outlet for creative writing. That's what I do, mm-hmm. if you didn't know by now. It's what I do. So I wanted to combine my writing and my talking into microphones hobbies, and I came up with Inspired Lunacy. So imagine, if you will, part old-timey radio serial. You know, think like Lone Ranger or something
like
Worlds.
That.
Yeah.
Superman.
And this will be as monumentally significant as War of the Worlds, I promise you.
Or perhaps Remember When.
Yeah.
I'm probably the only one who remembers
Wait, Dragnet? And that we're going to make our listeners commit suicide? No.
Dragnet, that was another one. It did not... Hey, let's be fair. War of the Worlds did not incite people to commit suicide.
The newspapers made that up because they were threatened by the new media.
Yeah,
that's right.
New media is scary.
It is scary.
I'm old! Which is just confounded.
Okay, so that's one part. So
yes.
It's going to be each week... The first half of each episode will be the next installment in whatever recurring storyline we happen to be in the midst of. So I can tell you that the first story arc for the foreseeable future will be a sci-fi sort of story based on a short story that I wrote. And the first three episodes will follow that story, and then we'll continue from there. And I think it has some great potential.
Let's talk about some of the cast members
We've got some great talent involved. So of course all of us will of course have roles in it. All of us have some roles, but we're bringing some outside people. We've got DC.
DC Cathro.
Yep.
You know, I like to say that DC Cathro is a great actor.
Very talented.
Very talented graphic artist, by the way, as well. Who knew?
Yeah.
He's also one of our friends from Beyond Comics. And no, I don't mean the film Beyond Comics. I mean the actual store Beyond Comics.
Yes. So, he's in it.
Real fast, I believe he's in a production of the 1970s Superman musical that's going to be playing at the Weinberg. So, if there's a throw out for his show.
Fantastic. That is fantastic.
Indeed. And he's playing, three or four roles in that?
He's got a few.
He's of course the male lead on Homeworld, the science fiction story you mentioned before.
Yes. Oh, Homeworld.
So that's part of the episode is the recurring storylines, and then each week there will also be a mishmash of comedic sketches, and One of those involves a lot of really goofy British accents, so I think you will enjoy that.
I didn't really like it.
We've got basically just any excuse to do fun accents, British accents, mm-hmm. Southern accents.
Oh, yeah.
And some more things.
And in a sketch, I am given the opportunity to talk like this.
Like it's, Don LaFontaine.
It's pretty great.
I got to admit, that is one of the sketches I'm looking forward to the most. I really am.
I'm really excited about all of them. I think it's going to be a really fun show. And it's completely scripted. So it's going to be very tight, 30 minutes. If you're the kind of person that does not like the whole rambling ass, this basically. If you don't like the fact that
if you don't like
a
this.
Lot of our podcasts seem like we're rambling,
because we are, but that's okay.
We are because you know sometimes we need to.
I take notes.
Yeah,
you do. Yes.
Inspired. If you're the person who doesn't like that kind of thing, well, Inspired Lunacy is for you because it'll be just like listening to a real radio program, except that it's not live.
Oh, let's talk about the music real fast, too.
Oh, I mean, exactly. I haven't even touched on one of the best parts about Inspired Lunacy. So we've got our boy Andrew Howard, who is providing us with music, original music, that he has composed himself for the various parts of the show. Guy's super talented. I mean, this stuff sounds professional. It sounds really nice. And honestly, it's just fantastic. It's far better than anything I really needed or expected to have for this kind of show.
Yeah.
So just the fact that we get to have that music is a real treat.
Oh, dude, it's a blessing. It's really awesome.
So, we are currently in the midst of editing the first episode and should be coming in about a couple weeks. We'll have a lot more details about it. There will be spot on the website for it. We'll have, you know, of course, social media, Twitter and Facebook, shouting out about this new show, letting you know when it's going to premiere. And then I will have more things in the works that I have not even discussed yet with you guys. I've got ideas for this show.
Really? Yeah.
Put it at that.
So stay tuned at castwavestudios.com and
you'll see the link up there soon.
Yeah.
So, now, since we've plugged the living crap out of your show...
I don't know how much more I could do with that.
Why don't we go ahead and start going around the table and talking about how everyone's 2013 is going. I mean, obviously, MacFest was a real blast, but obviously, if you're listening to this, you've more than likely heard the interviews already, so hopefully you've gotten a glimpse of what it's like and...
Oh, yeah.
You should go next year, because more than likely we'll be there.
Oh, yeah.
But,
no doubt.
I want to talk about what else is going down in people's lives. So, why don't we start with Sean?
Well, I am currently in a band, and which is most of the members of this podcast currently in the room, with exception of Jordan Hazelwood, Stephen and Hawkins has been taking up, well, a majority amount of my time.
I play alto saxophone. There wasn't an opening for that in the band.
Yeah, there was.
You never mentioned that.
You play saxophone?
Don't hide your
gifts. I've never mentioned that before.
No.
I'm positive you've never mentioned that.
Had you mentioned that, we would have been like, Jordan, we need you. Oh my God, we need you.
Well, I'm feeling a little sheepish right now.
Yeah, you should, man.
I didn't know you played...
How long have you played for?
To be honest, it's actually been kind of a while. It was mostly from, like, middle school and high school and college.
College.
I fell out of it a bit because I was always the first chair of the second alto saxophones, and that kind of pissed me off as the years went on.
Yeah, that's nothing to sneeze at. I was third trumpet for all... 4 years of high school.
Yeah. And then I tried to keep up with it when I was living in Morgantown, but my apartments, I had an apartment with a bunch of irate old people, so practicing this wasn't really conducive to that. And
yeah.
Then I guess I found Guitar Hero after that and was more satisfied with fake video gamey musicianship than the real thing.
Yeah, well, one of the problems with wind instruments is there's no way to play it through headphones.
So, yeah. Without breaking it up. It's hard to... I mean, there's ways, but it's hard to mute a sax.
Oh, my God. There's a market open. We should try and develop something for that. Anyways.
So, what else is going on with you, Sean?
It's that and the audio engineering for Zach's show and the Severed Dongle. You should check it out. I mean, he's doing pretty well. So, I might as well put some of our people up in there.
Yeah, really. Well, I'm surprised people like.
Yeah, it's a show about video games. If you haven't already guessed from the title, and it's pretty fun. You should check it out.
Yeah, it's not actually about genital mutilation. It's about video games.
Yes. Yes, dongle being a piece of
game thing equipment. That
game equipment.
Yes,
and I mean, we don't know what he has in store for his show.
And that's about it. Yep. So moving on to Brian.
Well, the year started off pretty awesome for me with MAGFest. Had a lot of fun there. Got to interview a couple bands that I really wanted to interview. Had kind of a spell there where my back went out on me. I mean, if you remember, Colin.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, there was a moment there where my back just kind of... Yeah, so that was kind of a bummer. I kind of spent half of a day just kind of recuperating. But other than that, MAGFest was a blast. And from there, you know, I've kind of been... going up the ladder at work, and I've actually got a lot of things planned for Wandering Geek coming up here pretty soon. I'm gonna be doing a post St. Patrick's Day episode, and pretty much it's gonna be, you know, anything Irish. We're gonna pretty much just review, but yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of things up kind of brewing in the back, and I hope to release some pretty good stuff this year. So
yeah. Cool.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Playa.
So, see, what's happened to me in 2013? Well, MAGFest, obviously. I got a new job.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
Money.
Right? Yes. It's
a crime.
Make money.
It's weird being part of the working force again, like having to wake up and go into your job.
Yeah, right? It's weird after being unemployed for so long.
It is.
As opposed to rolling out of bed and then moving onto the couch and then basically just staying there.
Oh, I miss those days. What are you talking about?
Anyway, but there's that. Let's see, I got a new job, which is actually pretty awesome. I'm not going to go into it because obviously I want to see how it turns out first before I can say, oh, it was the best job ever. But, let's see. I have a girlfriend now.
Yeah!
Yeah, boy!
You shouldn't have said that on air. Just think about how many women tune into our show for the sole purpose of one day sleeping with you.
I know, right? I've literally I've just dashed the hopes of millions of women. I'm so sorry.
Sorry, Ginger fans.
I mean, seriously, now the only sex appeal on the show will be that of Justin Eisenstadt, and that's...
What? No?
Justin!
Wait, I don't think my voice is...
Hey, miss.
Is that subliminal enough for you?
I don't have
those dulcet tones girlfriend.
That you have, Colin.
What?
You're too kind.
All the ladies at home.
All the single ladies.
All the single ladies. Whenever
if you want it,
calling.
You gotta put a ginger on it.
If you liked it, you should put an onion ring on it.
If you want it, you gotta put some sunscreen on it.
Yeah. Wow, that's a good one. Actually, that's pretty good.
If you like it, we'll go to heaven.
Ow. You know what's funny? I actually got pulled in front of a school, what's that word? Not a conference, but it's when like all the kids are gathered together in one place.
Assembly.
Thank you.
Hey, there you go. Pep rally.
I got pulled in front of
the root of assembly is assemble. So think about that.
Avengers assemble. Oh yeah, that actually is a very helpful mnemonic device. Right. All right. I got pulled in front of an assembly once, and like I was like in the third grade.
Mm-hmm.
Pulls the guy like it's like 200 people, and he pulls me and my brother up to the very front. And he's like, hey, kids, see these two boys right here? These two boys are the most susceptible people in this room to skin cancer.
Thanks.
What?
Thank you? Question mark?
What?
What?
And you know, here's their home address if you need to go beat them up later.
Way to ostracize us even more.
Don't worry
about
her.
This was before South Park, so somebody was calling us out on being a ginger before it was popular.
Don't worry about hurting their feelings. They don't have souls.
Right? Had that been post-South Park, I would have been laughing my ass off, but this was pre-South Park.
Oh, my God.
Now I'm thinking of that YouTube video of the angry ginger kid.
Gingers do have souls!
Gingers do have souls.
You know what? It's funny. I'm a ginger, and I really, honestly, that guy annoys the shit out of me.
Do not let him represent you.
I know. Seriously, do not speak on behalf of our race. Please don't do that.
Don't do that.
Anyway, so yeah.
Hoity-toity-toity-toity.
Girlfriend, this... The band, like Sean said.
Yes, band.
So, would you say everything is indeed coming up Milhouse?
Everything is seeming to have come up Milhouse.
Yeah, you know, like...
I know, you sound so surprised by that.
Just an aside...
I'm really kind of waiting for the shoe to drop, and it's just... I'm gonna wake up, at, like, or I'm gonna realize, oh god, I have a brain tumor. This is my Saint Elsewhere.
Oh, no.
This is my Super Mario Brothers 2. What the fuck?
It's not the tumor.
How weird is it, by the way, that, like, you know, like, a month ago, all of us were just pissy, just like, oh, we're single, it sucks, and all of a sudden, like, everybody's fucking, like...
Well, it just goes to show life changes pretty fast.
Yeah,
surprisingly enough.
By everybody, you mean Colin.
Well...
And
him.
Justin, and Sean, and him.
Yes.
We're all in varying states of nonsense.
Yeah, that's...
We're
yeah,
not
yeah.
all at the same level.
Yes.
Not
single. Some of us are at level one.
We're just
going to
call it various
two.
States of non-singleness.
Yeah.
Because God knows we could go into that. That could be a completely different discussion topic for another episode.
This ain't
I mean,
because
I have plenty
what
of charisma, but I kept them rolling
I don't see
that's
Delilah
my
here, do you?
Yeah. I was talking more about Dr. Drew, but whatever.
Delilah?
Hey there, Delilah.
No, the radio
Oh, yeah, anyway. You know, all right, well, yes, that's what's been happening in my life. Let's move on. Justin.
Okay, well, of course, I already told you about the new show coming up.
Yes, you did.
Lucy.
Sean talked a bit about the band, but I just want to reiterate that it's really moving forward in ways that it has not in a long time, and that's something I'm very pleased about
because
it's something that's very important to me. And so the other thing that I would mostly talk about for my little chunk of change here in this segment is that for the past 2 months, I've been working as a substitute teacher here in Frederick County, which that is something I could spend an entire episode talking about because of many stories. And I will probably use the blog as a more convenient forum to talk about my experiences in substitute teaching. But if you want, I can. If you want to hear any particular stories or ask me any questions about what it's like to work with little kids. I have literally had to tie kids' shoes for them. So I've pretty much worked all grades at this point and all levels. So
the funny thing that, you know, the tying the kids' shoes, that was in high school, right?
Yeah.
That's
a sad day for me.
I never learned how to read.
Could you tie my shoes for me? Those are Velcro.
Just Johnny, those are Velcro, and you are a senior. You really should learn how to do this yourself.
I know you're captain of the football team, but you are going to need to know this for college.
Coach said I hit good.
Jesus. All right, Jordan.
This head movie makes my eyes rain.
All right. No, sorry.
Shut it down.
No Tropic Thunder references.
I'm sorry, Jordan, how's your year been going, SR?
Yeah, MAGFest 2013 was probably my favorite convention of all time. For me, at least, in addition to everything that everyone else has already mentioned, I feel like I finally made some traction on garnering interest for my show.
Yeah.
You know, I helped. I commiserated with so many of the greats in the internet video reviewer circle. Mars Girl and myself won a trivia contest. I told Mike the Birdman Dodd, who was a radio show, that in one of the movies I reviewed, there's a line in which quite everyone, the Birdman's on the radio, which I hope he'll actually use as a bumper for his show at some point soon. And Yeah, it was just it was really fantastic. I felt like I had met many of them 2 years ago, and at that time I was just talking about how much I wanted to follow in their footsteps, and now I actually had something to show for it. And as such, I started a Twitter account, largely to as a vehicle to share my episodes with people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that since I've almost earned a full dollar on my blip.tv account so far, I think that real progress is being made.
All right. Holy
shit.
And then the next 3 weeks, I was so sick to my stomach, I could barely leave my bedroom.
I was sick during MAGFest. That's why I didn't really talk about MAGFest during my thing. Plus, I honestly, in all the craziness that's happened in the last couple months, I can't remember. Did we do a MAGFest retrospective episode?
We did not. What?
Did we ever do one?
Actually, we did not. So you know what? That actually... Well, I'm sorry. Is that everything you wanted to cover?
No.
I'm sorry. No,
let him continue then.
I guess I could talk about how I should be getting my master's soon, but you probably don't want to hear about that. I do.
Yeah.
I
didn't even mention that. I'm trying to go back.
I was invited to a pre-Oscar party, and our host had for your consideration... cuts of almost all the movies that were up for major Oscars that year, so I was able to watch all of them in a 3-day marathon. And his acquisition of said cuts was so morally upright and legal that I'm not going to mention his name on the air. And I've also been dying to talk about all of those movies. I'm not sure if now is the best opportunity for it, though.
I tell you what, I know Sean and I wanted to have an episode of BGN at the movies, where we discuss how the Oscars turned out, and I know we talked about having you in on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what we'll do for our next episode.
Okay. So
we'll bring you in and we'll do that.
That'd be better.
Alrighty.
So I guess now seems a more appropriate time for anything, I guess, to talk about MAGFest 2013, since you're right, we never had a retrospective episode.
I'm asking if we had a
retrospective. No, we didn't.
I don't remember. We didn't. Okay.
We did all the interviews, and then we came back,
I still recall
and then it was like, we're spooling through all the audio, and we're like, we just never got around to it.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, we'll keep it brief. We'll talk, favorite moments, least favorite moments.
I think my favorite
moment... So, start with Sean. Go.
I think my favorite moment is when I got to meet and got to talk to John St. John.
Yes.
That's probably the highlight of my entire weekend. Just like, one of the voices I grew up with.
And mm-hmm.
He's there.
Least
favorite moment, I would say being getting sick. Getting sick in the middle of it and trying to cut past the cold, like popping. No, Justin had like vitamin C,
yeah.
Poppers. Sick from the moment we got there.
You were sick from the moment we got there.
Has right to complain about being sick, it's me.
Okay. Anyway.
All right.
Anyway, so he had these vitamin C pops that he had. So I started popping those because we kind of shared it. So. That was the least favorite moment, just because it was just annoying. And yeah, I want to be at MAGFest and have fun, but I'm sick.
Yeah. All right, Brian, favorite moment.
Well, I thought my favorite moment was gonna be when we were interviewing the Protomen. They had just got done with a major concert, and apparently they got cut a little short. So we went up to the booth and said, "Hey, do you still want to do this interview?" I'd kind of been keeping base with the Protomen all weekend, and I was like, "Are we still doing that?" And they said, "Yeah." So we went to go interview them outside of this hallway, and we got done with the interview, and they started going down the hallway. And I was like, "Wait, what's going on?" And they then put on a second concert at the Jam Space, which was freaking awesome. It's actually on YouTube, and they played Bohemian Rhapsody, and they played another song, but with this cat keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, Freddie Mercury.
This is Freddie Mercury.
And it was, they played Do Vendetta, but it was like, meow, 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 meow. And it was just fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It helps that I was drunk.
I think that would still have been a great spectacle to watch even sober.
It was. It was either, Bohemian Rhapsody was the highlight of the night.
Mm.
It was the highlight of the fucking night.
It was
night.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, least favorite moment.
Least favorite moment was when I was trying to go to a concert and my back spazzed out on me.
Ooh, yeah.
I
remember that.
Because we were going to a concert, and I was like, we were walking out on the main hall where, you know, like you go left in, like, 2012, that was where the jam space was, and then, like, over here, yada, yada, yada. We get halfway to the main stage, and all of a sudden, my back just starts spazzing out on me, and I start grabbing it like this. Like, I just kind of start looking like an old man. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? And I remember crawling back over to the mezzanine in pain, just like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. I still don't know what happened.
Yeah, I remember. You had to spend the bulk of that night icing your back.
Yeah, because it was
which I think like a couple of hours later, you were actually able to get up and move around. So I don't know if it was just a one off. I don't know.
I guess it was, but like it was inexplicable. I don't know what was. What happened. But
you were able to finish out the convention, so it's
yeah.
At least it wasn't serious.
Oh yeah. By the way, the Redskins were there.
Yeah. Right before they lost.
Oh yeah, and then we yelled out some horrible. Yeah, you're like, hey, sports ball. I'm like,
yay, sports team.
Go teams.
Yay, local sports team.
And like people turn at us like
you're
every
superior to the sports teams from other areas.
Yeah,
we yelled at general things, and there's just people turning up.
Here's a funny little side story, and then I'll throw you, Colin.
Yeah, go ahead.
Was that I was making fun of it because I'm a Broncos fan. I was like, ah, the Redskins are here. The Redskins suck. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then it hit me. I was just like, wait a minute. That means Mike Shanahan's here. I was like, holy shit, Mike Shanahan's here. If you don't know who Mike Shanahan was, he was the head coach for the Denver Broncos when they won 2 back-to-back Super Bowls. And I was like, oh my fucking God, wait a minute. So like I went back in kind of looking around, seeing if like I might run into him.
I can't believe he's here.
Like, that would have been a fucking awesome way to end that MAGFest. Anyways, throwing back to you, Colin. What was your favorite moment?
Honestly, for me, it's a lot harder to nail down because I personally had a lot of great moments. The two really that come to mind are, we had, Jordan, Sean, and Brian had just finished their interview with Wes Johnson, and yes. Justin and I had actually been out of the room eating dinner with my brother and his friend who had come down to visit. And they went down to the floor, we went back up to the room, and I find this manila envelope sitting on one of the beds, and I'm like, what is this? And I remember calling down to either Sean or Brian, I was like, did you guys leave something up here? And it's like, it's not ours. So I was like, oh, well, they must have left it up here. Gotta return it. So I call Wes Johnson. I'm like, did you leave a manila envelope in our room during our interview? He's like, yes, that was our scripts for Scriptapalooza. Is there any chance you could bring those to me? I'm like, I'm not doing anything right now. Where are you at? He's like, we're at the restaurant downstairs. Can you, give me 2 minutes, I'll run downstairs and I'll hand it to you.
Was that the sports one?
Yeah, the baseball themed bar grill, whatever it was
nice
called.
Place.
I don't the Capitol Grill. That's what
it wasn't.
Called.
It wasn't Shrekapalooza.
Yeah. Well, so
Shrek was not in attendance at this night.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, for those
unlike last year,
for those of you who don't know or who haven't listened to the episode, Wes Johnson is voice of a lot of Bethesda games. He's in Oblivion, Skyrim,
Fallout 3.
You know him best as Uncle Leo or Shagorath
or Mr. Burke
or the Gray Fox.
He was in a couple of John Waters films. So.
Also, if you're a fan of the Washington Capitals, he is their announcer.
Yes.
Yeah.
So obviously, in the local area, pretty popular, and amongst gamers, he's probably on par with John St. John amongst voice talent at this MAGFest.
Yes.
So I go downstairs and Ian and his friend come with me, and I think it's just gonna be a handoff. I just hand him the envelope, we move on. But Wes, God bless him, I hand him the envelope and he's like, hey, are you guys doing anything right now? I'm like, not at the moment. He's like, well, we just had 2 people cancel on us. Do you want to sit down and have dinner with us? I was like, yes. Did the Gray Fox just ask me to dinner? So obviously I felt bad because he said there were only 2 seats. So I was like, well, why don't you take Ian and my brother and my friend here, and they can. And he's like, oh no, we'll pull another chair, and I'm like, well, if you insist. So I got to spend the next hour and a half talking to Wes Johnson, and it was weird. The conversation just ranged from like Star Wars to hockey, so it was all over the friggin' place. I was like, is this actually happening, or am I just?
Do I have a brain tumor?
Yeah, it's like I my mind keeps going back to that. Like, yeah. I like when anything good happens in my life, I just automatically think, "Oh God, I'm insane elsewhere. I'm a 13-year-old boy with all with autism looking at a snow globe."
Wow, I never noticed how much you guys joke about brain tumors before.
I think it's more frequent in this episode, but
it's most frequent in this
actually,
episode.
Actually, you mentioned, good things times. Happening
to me. Yeah, this episode will probably have a brain tumor related title. Yeah. I'm not sure what.
Probably. All right, but yeah, I got that
to balance
was awesome.
It out. Don't donate to St. Jude people. Anyways,
no. But anyway,
do good work.
But yes, that was probably, I would say, out of everything, that was probably my favorite moment. My least favorite moment was, honestly, I'm going to have to agree with Sean. It wasn't just Sean and Justin. Everybody in our room, with maybe the possible exception of Jordan, got sick, at least in the room got sick.
Yeah.
I knew you got sick after we got back.
And before.
Oh, and before. But it was like you lucked out for like the 4-day period. You didn't get sick. Unless I missed it.
I was still pretty ill. I'm amazed that I won fourth place in a rock band vocals competition.
All right.
Considering how bad my cold was.
Yeah, no, I specifically remember that. So yeah. Jordan was sick too.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. We all got sick. And you can attribute that to, you know, those cons. It just, if sickness happens, everyone's getting it.
Yeah,
pretty much.
There's no avoiding it. All right, so Justin, favorite moment.
Well, I'm going to actually reverse it because I always like to end on a positive.
All right, so least favorite moment then.
So I could talk about being sick, but honestly, that's not a single moment. That's the entire thing for me because I'm just going to be honest. For me, it really did kind of mess up my MAGFest experience because I was really sick. We're talking like a flu. You know, we're talking full-on fevers, chills. And so that culminated in the single least favorite moment for me, the worst moment of all, which of course you mentioned, us going to meet your brother and his friends at that restaurant.
Now let's be
that
fair though.
I
was gonna say that. I assume you mean like the restaurant itself was the bad moment.
Well, I'm getting into it.
Okay.
So it's, you know, I like your brother, I like his friends. It has nothing to do with them.
Okay, cool.
I have to explain the moment.
Oh, yeah, go ahead,
why this is the worst moment, because it's a culmination of all these things. That was the single sickest moment of the entire 4 days. That 30 minute or what, you know, 30, 45 minutes we were at that dinner, I was fucking out of it. I mean, I was gone. I was like head down on the table, my head swimming, like I can't even keep my head up. So it was also just one of the worst meals I've had in a while. That waiter was just terrible. We had this real douchebag of a waiter who, if I'm remembering correctly, and at that point I may have been hallucinating in my fever state, but I'm pretty sure he started just, like, insulting people at the table, and he, like, gave your brother shit for taking too long on his order. And I'm not sure if he thought that was being funny, but the very first thing he comes up to us, he talks about some, I don't know if it was some show or
he got tickets. He got tickets to the Redskins game. He wanted to get the fuck out of Dodge.
Yes, he was complaining about having to be at work because he had gotten tickets to the Redskins game illegally, I should add, and was, you know, bought, and he was pissed off that he couldn't get out of work to get to this game with the tickets that, again, he had acquired illegally. And he was telling us the patrons at his table who he's supposed to be waiting on. And I'm just like, Is this serious? Is this really happening right now? The waiter is complaining to us about having to do his fucking job. So that's happening, okay? So I'm really fucking sick. I'm like, I shouldn't just stayed in bed right now.
I appreciate the fact that you did come out. I didn't realize you were that bad off.
I didn't either until I got there, because I had taken a bunch of medicine and just like, just all that stuff, it just converged, like, it was not a good moment for me. And so then it turns out while I was there, I missed what turned out to be what it sounds like one of the best interviews experiences that I would have had.
Because that was
amazing. From everything I've heard, Wes Johnson seemed, of all the people that we encountered and met, Wes Johnson to me sounds like the coolest guy out of everyone that
we
met.
He has such improvisational skill.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he was throwing out jokes left and right. No matter if they hit or miss, I was just cracking up at each and every one of them because I knew where he was coming from, and he had this kind of old man mannerism type of type of way. You know how it is. Your old uncle pull my finger type of mood. And it just cracks me up.
Right.
I should probably take this opportunity to mention that I was actually the one conducting the interview with Wes Johnson. This was the first interview I'd ever conducted in my life. And wow, did he run laps around me.
Yeah.
Like I tried to do my research and I had some notes and like a script I kind of wanted to stick with. And he didn't want to stick with the script.
Yeah, and
he's not used to sticking with scripts. And it's like I feel honestly, to some extent, I kind of denigrated him a bit for not sticking with the script. But really, I had no reason to complain because just the man is a real font of charisma that I.
Oh, totally.
I couldn't even hope to match.
Right, and so
he's been in comedy for years. His improvisational skills on par with most comedian or most actual stand up comedians having specials
out. Right, and so that's the sort of shit I live for. Like I love doing interviews. I consider myself pretty good at them. So that's an interview I would have loved doing. Just like at last year's MAGFest, I had the interview with James Portnow and Daniel Foy, which was probably the best interview I think I've personally ever done. It was a great interview. They were great to talk to, really intelligent.
I felt really bad this year. Let's send them all if they even bother to listen.
That was actually going to be my worst thing about.
Oh, and apparently this also happened during that time that I was that we were at the restaurant. So all of this stuff happened in that 1 45-minute chunk of time. We ended up inadvertently blowing off James Portnow.
That wasn't for the Wes Johnson interview. That was actually
What happened was...
I thought that was during that. Because he was waiting at the door.
Happened was we had an interview with one of the Frag Dolls. That interview ended up... Because we started the interview 15 minutes late because we were in like the bowels of the hotel. It was like so difficult to navigate to our room. And then so that interview ran late. And then by that point when James Portnow showed up to do the interview... He was one of the most popular people who were at that convention. So he had another panel to go to, and Jordan actually
It was a series of other interviews. He was like, actually, this was going to be my story.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then let's just talk.
Well, I got two things before we move on, real fast. Just two things. Number one, our hotel room at the Gaylord. I think if you were to map out where each freaking elevator was, we were smack dab in the middle, and like wherever you had to go, you had to like.
Same distance.
It was equidistant, and it was a pain in the ass.
It was such a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. Number two, I remember Sunday, me and Colin actually ran into Wes Johnson, and we were like, oh my God, the NHL strike is over, because like...
Right, well, that's what I was getting to.
Yeah.
So that's... Less it just seem like I'm complaining about missing that one interview. I think I'm the only person who didn't even get to meet the guy at all. Because I missed the interview. I missed you going to dinner.
Yeah, well, here's the biggest kick in the balls on that, right? So we get back from the Irish restaurant. Justin and I go back to the room. Justin crashes.
Right, because at that point I was like, I cannot physically continue.
He was seriously fucked up. And then you guys came back into the room, and then... I was about to go downstairs, and I actually nudged Justin. I was like, hey, come with me. And he was like, no, I can't. I'm too sick.
And just to think, if instead of going to the restaurant, I had been sleeping for that entire time, I would have been fine to come down with you.
Yeah.
So.
Well, at that point, you wouldn't have missed their
interview. And I would have also been in the room.
But again, we digress. So it was a shame that you missed that.
Right.
But
so there's that. So, that's why I wanted to start with the negative so I could end on the positive.
All right. So what's the positive?
Whoa. And the other thing I just want to mention real quick, that fucking drive to Costco. Oh, my God. That first day really, really just...
But that price for the
really
beer...
Really totally fucking worth it, though.
That
really
price for the beer...
I know, but just...
What about 20 set? 20 set, so. Was it? What about $7 for...
Where...
For like...
So I'm not going to get into that. But...
Right, yeah.
Oh, but yeah, serious. So just to finish the Wes Johnson thing. So very, very end of the day, like literally like 5 minutes before we're about to leave, Brian and I are standing in the hall, and, this guy comes up, because we had just found out that the NHL strike was over. And, I'm not a hockey fan, so I didn't really care. So this guy comes up to talk about it, and he comes up to Brian. He's like, man, isn't this exciting? You're just here? And, they're talking, and I'm just like, who is this guy? And then walks away. Turns out that was Wes Johnson.
Right?
So I'm like, wow. So I, you know, I was literally standing right there.
I'll make you a promise right now. Next MAGFest, if he's there, the first thing I will do is drag you to meet Wes Johnson.
Yeah, and I'm not, you know, blaming you or holding that against you.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Just funny that happened.
I feel responsible.
Oh, no, trust me. If I hadn't dragged him out of the room, he would have been down
there. What was
the
positive?
So that same night, so I came back, I crashed, and somehow just, maybe it was just sheer willpower or just, you know, just that little bit of rest I got was enough. Because when I woke up, I was like, I'm ready to go. Let's own this. This is my last night. Let's fucking take charge. So we went down to Proto Man show. And then, yes, getting to interview the Proto Man, and as Brian mentioned, going to that secret show was my favorite moment.
Yeah.
Of MAGFest. It was just, they were really fun to talk to. And it was cool because we were out just kind of in the hallway and we had a crowd of people.
We had a crowd of people
watching us do the interview. And I just felt really cool. Just like all these people were like, I wish we were interviewing the Proto Man.
What was so cool too was that we were able to bring in like different buddies. Because I remember Galen was actually talking about like, I would love to interview the Proto Man. And he was actually at MAGFest.
And yeah,
I was like,
and it was really
cool. He like showed up and we're like, well, here's the Proto Man. Ask them away. And I felt so cool being able to do that.
It was that made up for it quite a bit. You know, it was really fun to talk to them. The secret show was a blast.
I loved that one of your first questions was like, what's the food that you want to just nom
like,
right
what's
now?
What's the fast food item that you want the most right now after playing a show
like just
that?
To stuff into your face hole. And I was like, that's a great question to start off on.
And I also want to say other contender, well, okay, not favorite moment, just probably weirdest moment, but in kind of a good way, was when, was it the X-Hunters or what was that band that just showed up at our door unannounced.
One-ups.
Oh, with the one-ups.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They that showed up at the door.
Totally my bad.
Yeah, like, I had no idea that we
were
doing that.
Let me preface this story, and I'll make it quick, because we want to get to Jordan.
I was the one who answered the door, by the way.
I know. Oh, I'll preface this story really quick. For those who don't know, every single interview we got at MAGFest, and every single interview we've ever gotten at any sort of event, I've personally booked.
Yes. That's what he does.
That's one of the things I do. It's because, you know, we all have busy schedules, and at the time in which we've done these before, I really didn't have much on my plate, so I took it upon myself to make sure we did this. And this year was no exception. I went and I made sure we had like a bunch of guests booked.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them got back to me, some didn't. I mean, no big deal. One of the bands, we had interviewed the one-ups the year before, and they were one of the bands who were returning this year, so I was like, it'd be great to interview them again. So I asked them, they said yes, and I was in constant communication with them all day, and then it was actually, I think it was, were you there for that interview?
I was the one who did the interview, and that's what I'm saying, that's why this was such a weird moment.
That's right, because what happened was, I was out of the room, I was with Ian and Andrew, we were at that dinner with Wes Johnson.
Yes, so
they texted me, were like, we're on our way, it was like, we're on our way up.
Don't smack your knee. It's bumping the microphone.
I'm sorry.
The
visual reference
in
an audio podcast.
Yes. No, it's actually audio reference because we're just hearing.
I know.
And then the
So what happened was the one-ups text me saying, hey, we're about to get to your room. Are you guys there? And I was like, oh, shit. I completely forgot we had another interview. Oops. So apparently they just showed up.
Right. We were
so
just
I'll resume the story from there.
Sorry.
So in the you know 30 seconds before they showed up, I was in my, you know, fugue state mode where I'm just like, what am I doing? What was I supposed to be doing? What's supposed to be happening next? Someone's at the door. In 30 seconds I had
it's
to go from
Domino's.
Being like laid out on the bed sick to like turning on the charm. And somehow I did it. Like, I gave a surprisingly good interview, considering that I did not know they were coming, that I was out of my head in a fever state, and that I was not prepared for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I
yeah,
just,
and it was just, because we're just here and just knock. I was like, who could that be?
That?
We're sitting there drinking beers, like, whatever, like, hanging out.
Yeah.
Like, not expecting an interview.
Right.
I, like, open up, I'm just like, It's like a mirage of people. I'm just like, oh, hi, one-ups.
Right. And but what's amazing, what's so funny about that is in no way did we let on to them that we were not prepared for them. Like,
right?
we totally owned them.
Well, now they know, but...
Well, now they do, but I think they'll have a laugh about it now. Because it was actually a pretty good interview. Because they, but we had, like, we were totally just like, turned it on. Let's go. Like, they had no idea that we were not prepared.
And see, that's why we're professionals.
Yeah.
We make it, well, so. Most of us.
So that was
maybe not me.
That's so, why we're professional-ish.
Yeah. So now that I can look back on it,
I'll tell you what.
Now that I can look back on it, that was kind of a fun.
Real fast, what did you think of my interview with the X-Hunters?
It was fine.
It went well. Your interviews went well.
It was fine, but again,
but let's move on.
We've all done our points. Jordan. So
yes.
Jordan,
all right.
Favorite moment.
Jordan,
very patient. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's what I do.
Thank you.
So, really, I've already mentioned all my favorite moments, but I guess I'll focus again on the trivia contest with the That Guy with the Glasses crowd. Was a freaking blast. It was a bar trivia. It was like a bar trivia, but without the bar, so it was right up my alley.
Mm.
And I love the fact how Ms. Kaylin Dixon and I, who's a Mars girl, we really seem to have kind of a rapport that if I didn't know a question, she knew it, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So we really covered our own bases. Like she knew that the Famicom, the Japanese NES, had an attachment that you could play games off of 5 1/4-inch floppies. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. And nor did she know that if in Grand Theft Auto 4, you could launch your car across the entire length of the city by parking on top of a swing set.
Yep.
Which I knew.
I knew that one. That was fun.
There was a previous trivia contest that I didn't win, unfortunately, and I was amazed that there was a category that they played 1980s heavy metal tunes in as rendered by 8-bit chiptunes.
Mm.
And I was the only person at the entire table who got any of them right.
Huh. That's pretty awesome.
Like, you know, I think Holy Diver translates pretty well no matter what instrument you're using. But again, I was the only person there who recognized it.
Okay.
Yeah. So Mars Girl and I won the big night, the second night, and I got a $20 gift card for the dealer's room.
All right.
Nice.
And that was a fantastic experience. And as for the worst experience, that would have to be how I shamed myself and my family in front of James Portnow. So it was Friday.
You bring dishonor.
Friday night, you call and told me that James had texted you to say that he was going to schedule the interview after his panel, period. And he had three panels that the following day, and we couldn't get a hold of him again to clarify which one that was. So he and his erstwhile a colleague Daniel Floyd in extra credits. And by the way, just look, before I dip down the dark path, I'll have to say that extra credits is one of my favorite internet shows out there. It's an extremely intellectual discussion on the business and the philosophy of video games.
It's brilliant.
I'd highly recommend it. They're on blip.tv now. So you asked me to go to his and Daniel's panel, and it was for 2 hours long. It was pretty much just an open Q&A, and those guys are so popular and so well-liked that it ran for almost 4.5 hours.
Wow.
And I was there for the entire length, waiting for them to call me when I was raising my hand, and it occurred to me that what I'm asking is kind of a little off the pale compared to what everyone else was asking. So you know, my own social anxiety was creeping up on me, and I was afraid that I was going to sound foolish. But finally, they called me and said, "I represent the podcast Boldly Going Nowhere, and I wanted to confirm the time of your interview with us tomorrow." And James said, "Damn, you are one of the finest employees I think any boss could ever have."
I'm going to officially go on record. I'm going to agree with him on that.
Yeah.
Two things I had to think was, one, I'm not really an employee because I'm not getting paid.
That's
and
true.
And two, I would have been here anyway because I freaking love these guys.
Oh, yeah, no.
And
probably should have opened with that.
Yes, but no. He said no. He met the first of his three panels, which was for like 3:30. So I go to that panel as well, and I'm in communication with you, Colin, about that. And you said, feel free to. We'll be open at 3:30. Feel free to bring him up. And so after that, again, he is mobbed by disciples and hangers on from all sides. And then this one guy came up to Stone Cold to offer them an interview, and he said, "Look, I would, gentlemen, but this gentleman here already, you know, got to me last night, and so he takes priority." And so do I pull him away from the teeming masses when I get a text saying, "Saber just showed up. We're running half an hour late. You know, keep him occupied." Yeah. And I tried to do that, and
I.
Yeah, it's not like
20 minutes later, he said, "I'm sorry, I've got other things to do."
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it's not like in a sitcom where they're like, "Quick, distract this person," and it's, you know, I think
we should have interviewed both of them personally, but that's just me.
To be fair, and I'm again, this falls back on me because
I don't know if maybe the text was late because that whole building was kind of a cell phone trap.
I mean, again, it was one of those scenarios where it was. Murphy's Law was being exercised at full capacity. It was everything that could go wrong was going wrong.
Yeah.
It was we like, for instance, she was supposed to show up at 3, be done by 3:20. We're supposed to have a 10-minute window so that way we could prepare for James.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got there at 3:20 when she was supposed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So when I texted you at 3:30, I was like, "Okay, she just got here. It should only take 15 minutes. Try to stall."
Yeah. And we went for almost half an hour.
That's not on you. That's on me. Okay? It was, we got backed up. We couldn't just be like, "Okay, you know what? We got to cut this short. We got to kick your ass out the door."
I'm reminded of how, you know, you guys took me in about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now to contribute to the podcast. And I remember as I was going over the your back catalog of episodes, I said to myself, "Oh my God! At the MAGFest that I was at, they interviewed James Portnow and Daniel Floyd of Extra Credits. Holy crap! I need to get with these guys."
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, that was my favorite interview.
I was really looking forward to, you know, I'm glad they were willing to do it again, and I mm-hmm. thought that, well, maybe because I'll be holding this interview.
Yeah. Well, the thing you might not know, Jordan, is that. That interview was probably, what, 20, 30-minute interview?
Mm-hmm.
They stayed for another 40 minutes after the interview just hanging mm-hmm. out and talking with us. Because we were just having such a good conversation, they didn't want to leave.
Like, yeah, honestly, we should have just recorded it. But
yeah, and the thing is, and what it seems like, and maybe I'm wrong, is that you kind of feel responsible for what happened, and you really shouldn't. You did exemplary.
You went above and beyond the Call of Duty, sir.
You did an excellent job, and I just want to say sorry to them.
Oh, I've apologized profusely, and I took all the blame, because it really was my fault. I basically booked us up the ass on that particular, I think it was, what, Saturday?
Booked us up the ass.
Yeah, sorry.
Fucked up.
Yeah, it was basically on Saturday. We had the bulk of our interviews on Saturday because that was the day most of them were free. And so it was and you had the unenviable position that I was like, "Okay, he already knows you, so you go to the panel and grab him. We'll deal with whoever comes up to the room." Oh shit, we're running behind. Jordan, stall him. We'll make it work.
I mean, I think this could lead into the last and what should probably be final part of this discussion.
Yeah, because we're running on
and it's ways we can improve next year. And I think, first of all, we need to have more than one room. Okay, not just for our own personal sanity and comfort.
Oh, God.
But honestly, for the interviews, too, because then we could have multiple interviews going on at the same time.
Well, again, I think this by this time next year, we've already got 8 people running shows now.
Yeah, because that just room about. Was.
So I think
Zach
4-4.
Zach can take some of this responsibility because it's his wheelhouse.
I'm gonna go ahead and do this while we're recording. I will put forward at least half the money. Let's get a suite.
I mean, that would be pretty sweet.
No. I think we should end on that joke right there.
No.
That's not.
But no,
we could do better.
Yeah, there are so many things we could do better, and I, you know what? That's a discussion for another day. But one thing I would like to bring up is that what I want for next year's MAGFest is I want to get more fan involvement.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. We're in Frederick. I mean, that whole scene is, I mean, that is our house.
This is where we live.
My house.
It's our house.
Whose house?
Our house. Exactly. So I'd like to.
In the middle of the street.
I'd personally like to get more fan involvement. Like, get more people there to participate in what we're doing. I mean, you said it yourself. You said one of the best things about it was you had that whole crowd gather mm-hmm. around you for the Proto Man interview. I want to do that. I want more of that.
I want a panel.
It felt really good.
I want to party with some motherfuckers.
Yeah, just meeting more people in general. Just that should be for everyone. Just
yes.
Meeting it's more people, hanging out with more people.
Next year, we don't stay in the room.
Exactly.
We don't stay in the room.
We spent more time in the room this year than we did last year.
Room is for sleeping.
Last year.
Room is for sleeping and pooping. That's it.
And interviewing.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Sleeping, interviewing, pooping.
Yeah, I think what it comes down to is we gotta be... I guess we just have to adjust more on the fly and just have it so, like, everyone understands what the deal is. So I'm not just texting one person. I'll have to be, like, texting everyone. It's like, hey, this has gone wrong. Adjust accordingly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I didn't do that, but that's something I now know that I have to do in order to make it work.
I mean, you're only one man, you know.
I'm only one man!
Like, it's probably, it's too much to ask that all of this responsibility be put on you in the first place. But, this should all be off mic
discussion. Yes, but again, I would still say that I go to this every year because, really, you guys are my closest friends, and so that is...
Shut it down.
Yeah, right. Seriously, I say that just because you know, that particular convention that was my holiday. I didn't have Thanksgiving or Christmas. I had to work both those holidays. So when we got to go to MAGFest, that was my whole deal. And I couldn't have thought of a better group of people to spend time with.
Would you say that's your jam?
That was your Christmas.
Well,
your Chris Giving.
That was my Hana Kwanzmas.
If we're not gonna go into what we can improve, then let's go into like the one thing that you bought, and then we can roll out there. Like, what's the one thing you bought that you really wanted to buy?
The one thing I bought that I really wanted to buy.
At the merch, and then we can roll out.
I hate to admit this. I bought this for a friend of mine. I bought the 8 Pokemon Master Badges, the original set.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I thought they'd find it awesome.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. That's
pretty cool. Jordan, we don't have to go in any particular order. Jordan, what did you get?
I bought a t-shirt of an Imperial Stormtrooper taking miniature Imperial Walkers out for walkies.
Nice.
All right. The gang at my Tuesday Night Star Wars D6 game, rather like that.
Excellent. Sean, what'd you buy?
I don't think I really bought anything, but Brian gave me his Mega Man hat, and that's been... to some great use.
Oh, yes.
If you checked out my Twitter, you've seen who else has been wearing it.
Uh-huh. All right, Brian.
I originally saw it for $80, and then I saw it again for $40. The guy was trying to haggle me back up to $80, and I was like, no, fuck you, this has $40. Long story short, Mega Man Legends for the PS1. That's a hard game to find, just like if you go to like GameStop or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I could go to eBay and Amazon, but it was right there.
There's just something like nicer about finding something in person.
In person, and like not having to wait for a box to come to your door. Mm-hmm. It's nice.
I also remember seeing a pristine copy of Phantasy Star 4 for the Genesis in the original box, and it was going for $80, which I thought was hysterical, because when it was first released in 1994, it went for $100.
Nice.
All right, Justin.
Oh, Proto Man hat.
Cool. Proto Man hat. Good. Justin, what'd you buy?
I got some DS games, including this game I'd been looking for a very long time, The World Ends With You, on or Nintendo Twilly. DS. Yeah. Which I've had a love-hate relationship, but at this point, after several months of playing it, it's actually a really awesome game. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I stuck with it.
Good.
And then my favorite thing I got were these three posters from this one girl. It was a poster of Mulan, Yuna from Final Fantasy X, and like a geisha who was supposed to represent Amaterasu, the Japanese sun god. They're just really, really well done pieces of art.
So. That's something we never got to go into. Artist Alley, fabulous there. Go check it out. I mean, again, that's another story for another day. Yeah.
Just in general, I got a lot of great artwork to put up on my walls.
Yeah.
Well, as always, check out castwayshoes.com for updates and everything.
Amazon.
Follow BGN podcasts. I was getting the Amazon. I was saving the best for last.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, so check us out at facebook.com/BGM podcast. Give us a like. Click the share button and share this podcast with friends, because obviously, I mean, you know, we have nothing else to do on advertising.
You do have friends, right?
You do have friends, right?
You do. They like
you do the inform them about this show and castwaystudios.com, right? So do that. And then go to castwaystudios.com/Amazon for all your shopping needs, including a lot of the items that we discussed here today. You can find at MAGFest. You can also find it at Amazon if you're not able to make it to MAGFest.
Also, MAGFest 2014.
Yes.
Starts Thursday, January 2nd of 2014.
Yes.
You haven't bought your tickets now. Buy them now.
They're not on sale, but buy them now.
Silence!
Several months.
Silence.
Enjoy your summer and fall, and then go to MAGFest.
Bookmark MAGFest.org and watch.
Yes.
Well, there's some, you don't know.
Make MAGFest.org one of your homepages.
Tell you what, go to Baltimore Comic Con before you go to MAGFest, because that's actually what's coming up next. Hey!
All right, let's wrap this.
And we're boldly going nowhere.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com. Wow, that sounded great.